Hello, everybody, and happy Easter. To get us going, here's Dolly.
Thank you very much. I feel very honored to get to sing this song on the show tonight. And as Mama would say, I hope you get a blessing out of it. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. So I hurried to the window, looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, but something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Bye.
No one can get us going like Miss Dolly could. Happy Easter, everybody. Let's set up the show. This is a story of a promise fulfilled. This is a story of a promise that had been hinted at for pretty much the entire week. This is a story that finally came to a head today. This is Easter Sunday. And for this part two bonus edition here on the New Directions podcast, we're going to have a little bit of a worship service. I have some music lined up. I'll provide one song. Ben James will provide another. The Oak Ridge Boys, as they have done for me in the past, have one to wind it up for us. I have a person lined up to take care of our quote-unquote sermon that's pretty famous. I'll go ahead and give you details now. His name is Paul Harvey, and he has a story about a birdcage that he's going to share with us in a little while. I have a Bible verse to lead into that, a set of them, and we're just going to have some fun on this Easter Sunday. Bonus edition of the New Directions podcast. We'll pick up where we left off from late last week on the other side of this break.
Hi, folks. I'm William Lee Golden. If you ever wondered what was behind the beard, now you can find out. As I tell all in my new autobiography, I grew up in the cotton fields of South Alabama, but I dreamed of being at the top of the gospel music charts, and those dreams came true. Then I dreamed that the Oak Ridge Boys could make it in country music, and we did. My 50 years with the Oaks have been quite a ride, and it's all in my book. You can get your deluxe hardcover copy on Amazon, or at WilliamLeeGoldenBook.com. And at WilliamLeeGoldenBook.com, you can also get an autographed copy. I'd love to sign one just for you. And I hope you enjoy reading about my life as much as I've enjoyed living it.
I have a last minute extra for you to start the music portion of this show. Here's Charles Osgood.
It's a variation on a song by Leonard Cohen. You've heard about a secret chord that David played to please the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: a fourth, a fifth, a minor fall, a major lift, a baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I know you've heard this song before, with hopes and dreams dashed to the floor. There is a cold and broken hallelujah, but this is not the time or place. It's not my plan in any case. So let there be a joyful hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
May you rest in peace, Mr. Osgood. A friendlier person we may not have ever seen in television or heard in television news. I want to throw a version of a song that you normally hear in Easter services, some more than others, I would say. See if I still have the fingers to play Christ the Rose. Few times when I was able to maybe possibly pick up the rhythm on it. Eternal God, we thank you for the message of Easter. We thank you that you sent your Son to give his life for us and to rise again to give us life anew. Thank you for both. Thank you for keeping us strong. Thank you for being there in the good and the bad times. We thank you also for Easter, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Continuing with the music, I want to add one more for this segment at least, and it's with the man who has taken Joe Bonsall's place with the Oak Ridge Boys. He has a fantastic singing voice. I heard him sing this particular song, and it seemed appropriate for today. The song is called Because He Lives, and he's Joe Bonsall's replacement. His name is Ben James.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came. Thank you.
I'll put an amen on that one. I want to go ahead and pick up the story a little bit from... I read from Mark this morning. I'm going to read from Luke now. Picking up in chapter 24 of the book of Luke, when he did arise from the dead, raised from the dead. Verse 1 of chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. On the other side of this break, an Easter message from a legend. We'll be right back. He's performed with his friends for over 50 years. But that's not the only group he performs for. He has a family, and a very big one at that. And they're coming, guys. William Lee Golden is bringing his three sons, a few grandchildren, and an all-star band to a concert venue near you. They're not just country. They're not just rock and roll. They're not just gospel either. They do it all. And they do it all very, very well. So follow the Hillbilly Highway and find the Goldens coming to a theater near you. Without further ado, here's Paul.
Never the best that you hear on Easter. It's always the shortest. And it starts with a story about a Boston preacher named S.D. Gordon. Dr. Gordon placed a beat-up, bent, rusted old birdcage beside his pulpit and told the story about that birdcage. He said an unkempt, unwashed little lad about age 10 was coming up the alley swinging this old caved-in birdcage with several tiny birds shivering on the floor of it. The compassionate Dr. Gordon asked where did the boy get the birds. The lad said he had trapped them. What was he going to do with them? The preacher asked. The boy said, "I'm going to play with them, have fun with them." The preacher said, "Sooner or later, lad, you're going to get tired of that. And then what are you going to do with them?" And the lad said, "Well, I have some cats at home. They like birds. I'll feed them to my cats." Dr. Gordon said, "Son, how much do you want for the birds?" The boy, surprised, hesitated. And then he said, "Mister, you don't want to buy these birds. They're just plain old field birds. They can't even sing, and they're ugly." "Just tell me," the preacher said. The girl thought about it, picked up one eye, and calculated and hesitated. $2? To his surprise, Dr. Gordon reached into his pocket and handed the lad $2 bills. And the preacher took the cage, and the boy in a wink had disappeared down the alley. In a sheltered crevice between buildings, Dr. Gordon opened the door of the cage, and tapping on the rusty exterior, he encouraged the little birds one at a time to find their way out through the narrow door and fly away. Thus, having accounted for the empty cage beside his pulpit, the preacher went on to tell what seemed at first like a separate story about how once upon a time Jesus and the devil had engaged in a negotiation. Satan had boasted how he had baited a trap in Eden's garden. He had baited a trap, and he'd caught himself a world full of people. What are you going to do with all those people in your cage? Jesus wanted to know. The devil said, I'm going to play with them, tease them, make them marry and divorce and fight and kill one another. I'm going to teach them to throw bombs at each other. I'm going to have fun with them. And Jesus had said, you can't have fun with them forever. When you get tired of playing, then what are you going to do with them? And Satan had said, damn them. They're no good anyway. Damn them. Kill them. Jesus said, how much do you want for them? Satan said, you can't be serious. If I sell them to you, they'll just spit on you. They'll hate you. They'll hit you and hammer nails into you. They're no good. Jesus said, how much? Satan said, all of your tears and all of your blood. That is the price. And Jesus took the cage and paid the price and opened the door. Now our purpose of Easter in a dozen words. Jesus lived a good life in a wicked world to show us that it could be done. He died. And he rose again to show us that we could do that too. Paul Harvey.
We have one more, and I'm going to end this segment with it. Here is Mr. Harvey with a letter from God.
From now on, I'm quoting an open letter from God. My dear children, and believe me, that is all of you, I consider myself a pretty patient guy. I mean, look at the Grand Canyon. It took millions of years to get it right. And about evolution, boy, nothing is slower than designing that whole Darwinian thing to take place, cell by cell, gene by gene. And I have been patient through your fashions, your civilizations, wars, and schemes, and the countless ways that you take me for granted until you get yourselves into big trouble again and again. I want to let you know about some of the things that started ticking me off. First of all, your religious rivalries are driving me up a wall. Enough already. Let's get one thing straight. These are your religions, not mine. I'm the whole enchilada. I'm beyond them all. Every one of your religions claims that there's only one of me, which, by the way, is absolutely true. But in the very next breath, each religion claims that it's my favorite one. And each claims its Bible was written personally by me, and that all of the other Bibles are man-made. Oh, me. How do I ever begin to put a stop to such complicated nonsense? All right. Listen up now. I am your father and mother. And I don't play favorites among my children. Also, I hate to break it to you, but I don't write. My longhand is awful, and I've always been more of a doer anyway. So all of your books, including those Bibles, were written by men and women. They were inspired men and women. They were remarkable people. But they also made mistakes here and there, and I made sure of that so that you would never trust a written word rather than your own living heart. You see, one human being to me, even a bum on the street, is worth more than all of the holy books in the world. That's just the kind of a guy I am. My spirit is not an historical thing. It's alive, right now, as fresh as your next breath. Holy books and religious rites are sacred and powerful, but they are not more so than the least of you. They were only meant to steer you in the right direction, not to keep you arguing with each other, and certainly not to keep you from trusting your own personal connection with me. Which brings me to my next point about your nonsense. You act like I need you and your religions to stick up for me or win souls. For my sake, please don't do me any favors. I can stand quite well on my own, thank you. I don't need you to defend me. I don't need constant credit. I just want you to be good to each other. And another thing, I don't get all worked up over money or politics, so stop dragging my name into your dramas. For example, I swear to me that I never threatened Oral Roberts. I never rode in any of Rajneesh's Rolls Royces, and I never told Pat Robertson to run for president. And I have never, ever had a conversation with Jim Baker or Jerry Falwell or Jimmy Swaggart. Of course, come Judgment Day, I certainly intend to. Now, the thing is, I want you to stop thinking of religion as some sort of a loyalty pledge to me. The true purpose of your religions is so that you can become more aware of me, not the other way around. Believe me, I know you already. I know what's in each of your hearts. And I love you anyway, with no strings attached. So lighten up and enjoy me. That's what religion's best for. What you seem to forget is how mysterious I am. You look at the petty differences in your scriptures and you say, well, if this is the truth, then that can't be. But instead of trying to figure out my paradoxes and unfathomable nature, which, by the way, you never will, why not open your hearts to the simple common threads of every religion? You know what I'm talking about. Play nice with each other. Love and respect everyone. Be kind. Even when life is scary or confusing, take courage and be of good cheer, for I'm always with you. And learn how to be quiet so that you can hear my still, small voice. I don't like to shout. Leave the world a better place by living your life with dignity and gracefulness. For you are my own child. Hold back nothing from life. For the parts of you that can die surely will, and the parts that can't won't. So don't worry. Be happy. I stole that last line from Bobby McFerrin. But who gave it to him in the first place? Simple stuff now. Why do you keep making it so complicated? It's like you're always looking for an excuse to be upset. And I am very tired of your main excuse. Do you think I care whether you call me God or Yahweh or Jehovah, Allah, Wakatonka, Brahma, Father, Mother, even the void of Nirvana? Do you think I care which of my special children you feel closest to? Jesus, Mary, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, or any of the others? You can call me and my special ones, any name you choose, if only you will go about my business of loving one another as I love you. How can you keep neglecting something so simple? No, I am not telling you to abandon your religions. Enjoy your religions, honor them, learn from them, just as you should enjoy, honor, and learn from your parents. But do you walk around telling everyone that your parents are better than theirs? Your religion, like your parents, may always have the most special place in your heart. I don't mind that at all. And I don't want you to combine all of the great traditions into one big mess. Each religion is unique for a reason. Each has a unique style so that people can find the best path for themselves. But, my special children, the ones that your religions revolve around, all live in the same place in my heart. And they get along perfectly, I assure you. The clergy must stop creating a myth of sibling rivalry where there is none. My blessed children of Earth, the world has grown too small for your pervasive religious bigotries and confusion. The whole planet is now connected by air travel, satellite dishes, telephones, fax machines, rock concerts, diseases, and mutual needs and concerns. Get with the program. If you really want to help me celebrate the birthday of my son, Jesus, then commit yourselves to figuring out how to feed your hungry and clothe your naked and protect your abused and shelter your poor. And just as important, make your own everyday life a shining example of kindness and good humor. I've given you all of the resources you need if only you abandon your fear of each other and begin living and loving and laughing together.
Finally, my children everywhere, remember whose birthday you honor on what you call Christmas Day, December 25, and the fearlessness with which he chose to live and die. As I love him, so do I love each of you. Now, I am not really ticked off. Not really. I just wanted to grab your attention because I hate to see you suffer. But I gave you free will. So what can I do now other than try to influence you through reason, persuasion, and a little old-fashioned guilt and manipulation? After all, you know, I am the original Jewish mother. I just want you to be happy. And I'll sit in the dark. I really am. Indeed, I swear, with you, always, always, trust in me, your one and only God. End quote. Paul Harvey. Good day.
Next time on the podcast will be around the time the vote is going to be happening for, as I've heard the advertisements say, keeping the Royals and Chiefs in Kansas City. I will be as objective about this as I possibly can, regardless of how the vote turns out. We're going to talk about it the best way I know how, with a computer, with a TV, and maybe with a few guests along the way, but I will talk about that vote when I join you next time right here on the New Directions podcast. And I hope you've enjoyed this bonus two-parter. It has been a lot of fun to put this together. And I'm hoping that all of us could be recharged for a brand new life as a result of Easter. Because he lives, so shall we. And thank you, Paul Harvey, for your timeless words as well. To close out the show, we will see you next time. But until then, bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those for whom love is a stranger will find in you generous friends. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all and remain with you all on this Easter Sunday and always. Amen.